So let's now begin with Michelle Robinson, who's the co-director of the Washington office and the director of the Clean Vehicles Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Michelle is a recognized expert on state and federal transportation policy and the legislative debates surrounding them. Based in Washington, D.C. office, she's been with the Union of Concerned Scientists since 1992 and has more than 25 years of experience in public interest advocacy and organizing. Thank you for joining us on Background Briefing, Michelle Robinson.
I'm glad to be with you.
And the letter that was sent last week, May the 5th, to the president, it's a fairly diverse group of environmental organizations, along with the Republicans for Environmental Protection. And any word back from the president?
Well, we actually are in the process of setting up conversations with some key folks in the White House and the agencies that will be making decisions in the coming weeks. So we're awaiting those opportunities in the next several weeks.
So the president recently called for a new energy strategy, and without being cynical, just about every president for the last, 7 or 8 presidents, going back to at least Richard Nixon, have essentially called for the same thing. But meanwhile, we've gotten more. In fact, the last president before this one actually used the phrase "we're addicted to oil," and so the addiction continues, the talk continues. When do you think there's going to be a real strategy?
Well, as you mentioned, Ian, at the top of this segment, we see the terrible consequences of America's oil dependence all around us right now. I mean, your listeners are dealing with the rising gas prices that are hurting them in the pocketbook. It's undermining our economic recovery. Auto pollution is jeopardizing the health of our communities and accelerating climate change. And as you mentioned, every day we send $1 billion beyond our borders to pay for oil. This administration has an opportunity to do what so many presidents, as you say, back to Richard Nixon, and actually I think the Eisenhower administration was tasked some of their some of the folks in that administration with the idea of getting reducing our dependence on oil. So it goes back a very long time. But this administration has a real opportunity to do what all of those past presidents have aspired to do but never accomplished. And that is taking steps to truly free us from our dangerous dependence on oil. And what I mean concretely is that the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Transportation, and actually the state of California, working through the California Air Resources Board, took the first kind of baby steps last year by establishing the first increase in fuel efficiency standards for cars and trucks in almost 30 years. They set an increase of about 34 miles per gallon average by 2016. So they took that first step last year. Now they are all working together again. The administration has asked the agencies to work together on the next round of standards that will apply to new cars and trucks that are sold between 2017 and 2025. That sounds like it's a long way off, but that means that decisions made by our government in the next few months will help determine what cars our children will be driving decades from now. So the stakes are very high. And setting strong standards that increase fuel efficiency to 60 miles per gallon on average is really the greatest step that this administration can take to cut our oil dependence and reduce pain at the pump in the years ahead.
Now, what is the confidence in that technology will deliver on this? I mean, the California in many ways led the efforts to for CAFE standards and to increase miles per gallon, and of course Detroit fought those tooth and nail, but nevertheless California, being one of the largest markets for cars, was sufficient leverage for them to take it seriously. You're confident that in terms of technology, they ought to be able to deliver?
That's right. California has been in the forefront, and their focus has really been on the emissions side of things on reducing global warming pollution. In the process, you call for greater efficiency in vehicles. So working with the federal agencies, what they're looking at is a range of standards. And we've done the analysis, but the agencies themselves have done the analysis that shows that the automakers can achieve stronger standards by harnessing both existing technology, stuff that's in the marketplace or on the shelf today, and then continuing to innovate over the next several years. And those technologies are everything. There are a number of conventional engine technologies, smarter transmissions, higher strength materials, but there's also, of course, the more advanced technologies that some of your listeners are undoubtedly becoming more familiar with, like hybrid electric drivetrains and electric vehicle technology. So that range of technology can be put to work to meet a higher standard. And that higher standard, really, when you look, the auto industry, of course, raises the issue of cost. A fuel efficiency of 60 miles per gallon would save vehicle owners nearly $9,000 over the life of the vehicle at a gas price of around $4 per gallon, which is obviously what California drivers are dealing with today, and then some. So, and that's even after you factor in the cost of any additional technology to increase the fuel efficiency of that car. So it's a really a win-win situation, both in terms of reducing our dependence on oil and reducing emissions, but also in terms of really beginning to deal with the volatility of gas prices, which we believe and others like the Energy Information Agency believe we're going to be dealing with that volatility for years to come.
Again, I'm speaking with Michelle Robinson, who's the director of the Clean Vehicles Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. And the Union of Concerned Scientists were among many signatories of a letter that was sent to President Obama last week, urging him to set 60 mile per gallon standards to reduce global warming pollution by 6% annually by the year 2025. And when we talk, though, about the political debate, unfortunately, it seems that the political debate at this point is largely about increasing the debt ceiling, which the Republican House is using as leverage, and they want to cut trillions out of the budget, and the Democrats are coming back at them now saying, well, first thing to cut are subsidies for oil companies. Then in return, the Republican argument is drill, baby, drill. Now, an analysis by the Energy Information Agency says that expanded U.S. offshore drilling in the outer continental shelf would only reduce gas prices by about 3 cents per gallon 20 years from now, and that we will continue to consume 25% of the world's petroleum with less than 3% of the world's proven reserves. So is there any serious discussion then, because it seems to me that none of this is particularly serious or on point, of increasing fuel efficiency, expanding low-carbon fuels, by the way, the public transportation option, which is an obvious one. Some of the governors down in Florida and Wisconsin have refused to take federal money. So it seems to me that we're in a very strange political world where the debates are way off the mark.
That's a very important point. I think the thing to be optimistic about is that the decisions that can really move us forward on some of these ideas, like higher fuel efficiency standards for cars and trucks, but also looking at fuels and kind of how we move toward lower carbon fuels over the course of the next 10 years or so. I mean, we have some rules in place that allow the administration and government agencies to kind of take the lead in putting those policies in place and really, really implementing them. So we've got an opportunity to work, you know, through that process to get these policies in place and strengthen them over time. You're right that the congressional debate is a very surreal debate right now. As you mentioned, there are many calling for expansion of drilling as a way to reduce our dependence. on foreign oil. But as you mentioned, it really what we're talking about is only a small impact on gas prices out in 2030. What I was mentioning before, a fuel efficiency standard of 60 miles per gallon, saving vehicle owners $9,000 over the life of a vehicle at a gas price of $4 a gallon. What that really means is that's equivalent to a gasoline price cut of $1.30 per gallon when you compare that to a vehicle on the road today. So we're talking about a concrete impact on prices at the pump, but also it's a nearer term solution that deserves the attention of political leaders and decision makers as a nearer term solution. Conservation is really the answer here. It's not going out and seeking additional supply that is dubious at best over a 30-year time frame.
So, just in closing, then, Michelle Robinson, do you think there is this uncertainty over where the prices are going now? There's uncertainty about what's driving the price of oil. The president recently set up a task force to look into whether speculators were manipulating the price. There was this recent crash of prices where they dropped 15%. Overnight on the mercantile exchange. There was some suggestion that was the bubble bursting. They seem to be back up again now. Now there's talk that maybe they'll go up even more if some of these refineries downriver from the Mississippi floods will be put out of action. We go through this all the time, and the consumer, I think, is just numb and helpless. Where do you think the advocacy is going to come from? Is it a Pavlovian situation? Do we have to be paying $10 a gallon before we wake up?
Well, I'll tell you, certainly the members of the Union of Concerned Scientists are keenly aware of what's at stake and have been weighing in. And I encourage your listeners to take a look at resources we provide on our website. We've got a Clean Car Resource Center at www.ucsusa.org. And there people can look at what they can do, how they can bring their voice to supporting stronger vehicle standards. Really, that's what vehicle efficiency standards are, is an insurance policy. And what we need in an era of uncertainty and volatility in terms of where our energy comes from, it's some insurance. We need some certainty that we're actually on a path that will help us break this addiction once and for all. So I encourage people to go to our website, take a look, and see how they can be involved and how they can bring their voices and help begin to push back on some of the crazy kind of political dialogue that's out there today and push back for real solutions.
Well, I'm just reminded of Michelle Robinson, of course, a lot of people listening to us are on the Southern California freeways. And I was just yesterday driving back from the radio station, and I saw next to me in the traffic the Chevy Volt, which is actually a very handsome car. And I mean, what would happen if everybody in the country had a Chevy Volt? I mean, wouldn't the difference be profound?
It would be very powerful. And in fact, that's another part of the good news that I have to share, is that due to the fact that the government has required better performance over time, more recently from the automakers, we are going to see more vehicles like the Chevy Volt. And like the Nissan Leaf, the new electric vehicle from Nissan, we're going to see better hybrid technology from a number of the companies across a number of vehicle models that will make that kind of technology more accessible for a larger share of consumers. And we're starting to finally see the manufacturers do a better job with their conventional gasoline model. We're seeing a number of gasoline vehicles that get over 40 miles to the gallon in the marketplace today. So to hear the auto manufacturers, say that they can't meet a tougher standard out to 2025 really is doing their own engineers and the innovation that we know they can bring to bear a disservice. And so we think the marketplace could change significantly, but it really has only changed over the years because government has required the industry to step up to the plate and innovate.
And I, by the way, we just owned, we the people just owned GM up until recently. So maybe they should do what they're told. I thank you so much for joining us, Michelle Robinson.
It's been a pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Michelle Robinson, who's the co-director of the Washington office and the director of the Clean Vehicles Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. She's recognized expert on state and federal transportation policy and the legislative debates surrounding them. Based in Washington, D.C., she has been with the Union of Concerned Scientists since 1992 and has had more than 25 years of experience in public interest advocacy and organizing.